amazing is when you look at that video, the passion, what you saw, the blood, all the blood and the ripping of tearing of flesh was actually not even real to what it actually was. They actually scientifically say you could see the bowels of Jesus from the exterior. It is amazing to see the price that was paid so that you and I could be washed in the blood of Jesus. Amen? How many of you are glad that you know Christ as your personal Savior? Today, maybe you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Someone's brought you as a guest, and we want to welcome you. We just want to say thank you so much for coming to the house of God this morning. You are brilliant. Turn to someone next to you and say, you are brilliant. Tell somebody else, you are brilliant. You are, you're brilliant for being in the house of God. And we're getting ready to start our service. And we know that you're going to be blessed today. You're going to leave encouraged today. I encourage you to go talk to the animals after service. It's just been great. Yesterday, there were a few thousand people here. All the children running out into the field. It was so cool. And we just are so thankful for the entire team that worked yesterday. If you could give them a hand clap this morning. Thank all of you for working so hard. It was beautiful, wasn't it? It was great. Honey, would you like to open us in prayer?
Father, we just worship you and exalt you this morning. We love and adore you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the price that you paid. We honor you this morning. We celebrate you in your precious name, Lord. We invite you to enjoy our worship and our praise to your name. Amen.
Are you ready to praise? Amen. Enjoy yourself today.
Can I just hear a big thank you, Jesus, from y'all tonight?
The price that you paid this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for shedding your blood. Thank you for coming down and saving us when you didn't even have to. Come on, can I just see everybody get their hands up? You've been so good. You've been so good.
Can I hear another shout for God this morning? Amen. I don't know about you, but I got a lot to be thankful for. How many of you are thankful for Jesus this morning? Why don't you do me a favor? Why don't you go find two or three folks that you don't know and say, hey, good morning. Thank you for being in the house of God. We want to get right into where God's going to take us this morning. So make sure you welcome somebody near you. Maybe it's their very first time in church. We want you to feel comfortable, let you know that this is a family atmosphere, that you're important this morning. Come on, let somebody know they're important to Jesus this morning. Sean, you look great today. Come on, say hi to somebody. Hi. 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 Come on, just take one more second, turn around and wave at somebody. Say, well, good morning. Good morning. Did you meet somebody? Isn't it nice to be friendly? You know, we go in this real world and so many people are not friendly. In the house of God, we need to be friendly. Some of the kids are coming out this morning. They're gonna sing to us. Moms and dads, make sure you got your cameras ready. Grandmas and grandpas. Great grandmas, great grandpas. Wow, look at the kids. Hey, you guys look good. You're welcome. Pretty dress. Look at those pretty dresses now. Hi, Aaron. Hi. Hi, everybody. Dude, you're dressed in pink. It looks good. Hey. We missed. Ready? Look at the kids come in. Look at that little dude, man. He looks great. Hi. He looks good, doesn't he? You ready? Every single Sunday morning is about 160 children on the other side of that wall being ministered to, loved on, being taught the gospel. We don't do babysitting here at His Tabernacle Family Church. We believe in investing in the next generation, that they'll know how to lay hands on the sick. They'll know how to minister in the spirit. They'll know how to pray, amen, how to share their faith. So we're thankful this morning for our children's ministry. Every single month, 270 children go through our children's ministry just on a Sunday morning. And then every single Wednesday, some of you don't know this, but every single Wednesday, we bus in up to 125 children and minister to them right here on premise. And so God's been good. We've been ministering to a lot of children. The next generation, it's time to not let the devil have the next generation. Amen? I can't hear you. I said amen. Are you ready to hear the children?
God love the world.
Come on, you can give him a better shout than that. You know, if you were up here, you'd be peeing yourself. Come on, you can imagine looking out over hundreds of people when you're a child. Can you give him one more hand clap? Just say thank you. Raising up the next generation of young men and young women to do mighty exploits for God. I just believe that they are not the church of tomorrow. They're the church of today. Amen? You know, a lot of times we think that children have to wait till they're old to be able to do something great for Jesus. And I believe they can do it right now. The Bible says, let the little children lead them. You'll find that many adults are even in the room today because mom and dad led them to Christ. Thank you all. Thank you. Let's welcome Pastor Rhonda.
Of the Lord, it is a great day to celebrate and honor our King for the great gift that he gave to us. So tremendous, unimaginable, the gift of his life that he gave. After watching the Passion of Christ last night, I can't even make it through watching that. It's unbelievable that somebody would do that for us. And so today we have the opportunity to show him honor, to show his word honor with our tithes and offerings. Because Jesus gave, in John 3:16 it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It is the nature and character of God to give, and it is our nature and character to respond in giving. Amen. So if you're ready this morning to honor God with your tithes and your offerings, the word of the Lord says the tithe is holy. The word tithe simply means 10%. It's not something that's been made up by a denomination. It's from the word of God that the tithe is holy to the Lord, and we're to honor him with the first fruits, with our tithe of our income. So stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration to the Lord from Deuteronomy 28. As we respond out of honor to our King this morning, let's declare this knowing that anybody that paid that price that he paid it so we didn't have to remain in bondage, so we didn't have to remain in poverty, so we didn't have to remain broken. And that's our declaration from Deuteronomy 28 this morning. So declare it knowing full well as we celebrate what Jesus did with such great honor this morning. Let's declare it out. Say it like you've never said it before. Repeat after me, Deuteronomy 28. It says, if I obey, then I am blessed. Going in.
I am blessed going in.
I am blessed going out.
I am blessed
in my storehouse. I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They tripped me up because I'm a child of God. By a live stream, go ahead and click on the giving button or text to give right along with us.
Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Oh, my soul cries hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. We want to thank you all for sowing and giving. You are such a generous church. Can you turn to someone and say, you are such a generous church? It's so very true. You know, you're such great givers and you bless people. And I'm excited. I just want to share with you real quick what's happening up in Ithaca. Ithaca will be live with us second service. But what's interesting is we started renovations, and so many of you went up there and you helped us tear some rugs up and tear a wall down. And I just want to say thank you so much. There, we're going to be growing the kingdom of God right up there in Ithaca, 609 West Clinton Street. And we're going to see souls saved. Time to take Ithaca back. Can I hear an amen? Praise the Lord. We're getting ready to step into, we have a spoken word, and we also have a little skit for you. And then we're going to be preaching the word of God and having communion together this morning. And we just want to say how much we love you. Thank you again for being with us this morning at His Tabernacle Family Church.
Plain ignorance. Well, even ignorance is defined as a lack of knowledge. See, I'm just faking it. Pretending as if I don't know when really I do. I felt less than what my designer thought was best, so I suppressed who he supernaturally intended me to be. No lie, I got relaxed. Then I combined by weaving a little bit of his will with a whole lot of mine. So how do I look? I think I look good. Sure, it's not his original design, but I got time to change and fix any minor things that might lack. I mean, it's not like he's coming back tomorrow. Seriously, how long have we heard that these are the last days? It's the same old song. Now, is it just me, or do these last days seem to be lasting kind of long? I know I'm not perfect. I've had so many I couldn't count my falls, Niagara. Instead of responding to his call, I'd rather schedule him, Viagra. Whatever's wrong, I know that he can heal. But I want the cattle on 1,000 hills with the ability to still grab the wheel while grasping onto my own will like Jacob to Esau's hill. My love is based, and his love is based, on how I feel. He loves me. He loves me not. Like pulling petals off flowers. I mean, yes, he's coming back, but no man knows the day or the hour.
Where have you been?
I've been
at the altar waiting for you to repent. What happened? You've
lost weight? Yes, I wanted to look good for you, so I haven't been eating my daily bread.
Bread of heaven is who I am. But it's scary. I give you loaves of my word, but you get by with the crumbs of commentaries.
I needed a makeover. No one was attracted to me, so I dressed up the gospel. Stayed silent, seeing sin, saturate sanctuary, shadowing sight with smoky eyes, because you know, you are love.
No. I am your cover, girl. I make up for your lacks and deficiencies. I'm your very foundation. See, I blend with you perfectly. No need for a concealer, for I'm the revealer of all. Don't you remember when I tore your veil?
So, you saying you don't like my lashes? You don't like my nails?
You don't understand. You don't understand. I took lashes for your lashes. I took nails for your nails, but if I'm not gaining your heart, I'm just losing time. Because more than I want you to be outwardly beautiful, I need you to be mine.
Well, you're here now, so come on, let's just get on with the ceremony.
Knowing there would be nobody in attendance, you haven't even extended invitations. Too excited about the reception and the gifts that you would get that you forgot about my presence.
Dollar dances, I take quarters, nickels, and...
The world can keep their dimes! Pieces of silver don't impress me too much. Don't you dare forget what happened to Judas.
You just failed to see that I changed. I mean, I admit, I grew distant and lost sight of you, the absolute value. Missing the signs, but now at times with ignorance I co-sign. Unable to stay away from tangents, I thought I had the right angle.
Look, I know your heart has been broken. But if you can keep your eyes fixed on me, I can repair us. And we will no longer be fractions being dominated by denominations.
Yeah, I choose to stay divided like Palestinian nations.
Yes, your fouls have been flagrant. But I'm positive that I'm the one for you. But we will equal nothing if you continue to be the negative one in this equation. Can you sense my frustration?
You are holy, so I have to impose with legalistic, making appeals for what you already acquitted. Obsessed with overruling your objection, purposely plucking purpose.
Professing prosperity, practicing pride, persecuting people persistently. And when you became the judge, you took away the saint's defense. And you silenced the miraculous testimony of my witness. So no one's ever convicted, yet so many of my children are turned away from life because you condemned them with your death penalty sentence.
Well, not all of them.
Excuse me.
About their entrance. In the Lamb's Book of Life, some of the names you may skip. So with attendance, I stamped their wrists so they could get in. The VIP section, we don't address their sin, neither do we offend. Bouncers don't trip on those who abundantly give. Besides, all the praying grandmothers had a plus one on the list.
Well, you go find them, and you tell them, right? Make sure they're listening. Tell them they won't see me just by visiting you routinely. Be the example. You need relationship with me. You are so much more than stained glass, pulpits, pews, singers. Because if you really want to see my church, just look in the mirror.
You wanted me to be fine, right? Just perfect and eloquent? Well, this land seemed desolate and needed development. I exceeded your budget, so I withdrew from Tyra's Bank, continuing to remodel, staying culturally relevant. My girl Katrina called and said hurricanes and hard times came, and you didn't make yourself evident.
But I told you I would never leave you or forsake you.
I hear you, but I had immediate needs.
Yeah, but I thought that you would wait for me. What happened to your ring?
My ring?
You don't remember the ring? When I called you out of darkness and into marvelous things, you wear it in you, not on you. That was my call. My mark, my spirit to remind you and your ex who you really belong to.
My ring, I pawned for money to get back to who I thought was my first love. He spoke to me with words so sweet. He waves and I feel the sureness of my wrong decision. Shifting my view, he wanted me to see Bree so I forget where the sun sets. Next, I was convinced I didn't need to repent for my sin, for he told me that he could wash me with the tide that was coming in. The weather was pleasant on the Atlantic surface, but as I got to his core, the temperature drastically changed. Yes, I contracted an STD. He burned me at about 9,800 degrees. He was my earth. He was my world. And I'm sorry to tell you, but there's more.
Did you think I wouldn't notice the symptoms and the signs and the unexplainable cravings for sin of all kinds? You even had trouble sleeping.
Weeping may endure for the night, but joy didn't come with a morning sickness. So now in my pain, in my mourning,
I witness
me take the pill for the morning after, coincidentally located right next to my box of alabaster. I was too shameful to bring forth out of bed.
Stirred lies of wicked men's tongues started deceiving you, then automatically placed the seeds of deceit in you. So when you were pregnant with falsehoods, it became impossible to conceive the truth.
The truth may be free, but I ran back to what I was comfortable with, being enslaved and mind depraved, but I'm sure you don't want me now. I'm not worth the price you paid.
They flogged me with whips that left my flesh stripped. They beat me with their instruments rhythmically, which caused my skin to bleed symphonies. I can still remember the hooks like a chorus. And those weren't just 66 letters. They were musical scores. So you and I would always be on one accord, for you to always have the right keys to my heart's doors.
I just wanted a sample, but I repeat sin like Lupin A bars. And at my own temple, I began to embark. Instead of following your instrumentation, I drowned out your heartbeat of timpani. Your strings of harmony ignore the woodwinds of your spirit. If your trumpet sound, I wouldn't hear it, or even the brass ring. Because I laid tracks upon tracks of acapella so I could hear myself sing. Majoring in minor has left me scratched like broken records. Causing my life to stutter. I'm just a false instructor, pretending as if I'm watching the conductor. I'm too unlawful to be your wedded wife, and I'll probably never recover.
My will was put to the test when I had to choose to escape glory and escape in glory, or bear torment on my flesh. You were the reason I embraced that rugged cross like a child long lost. Mary, my own mother, couldn't even recognize her son's disfigured face. Me is who I gave you on the cross when it was finished. I told you I loved you. How much I showed you. You call it crucifixion. I call it proposal. Will you marry me?
You don't need a third party. You have direct access to me. And we won't even have to worry about remembering our anniversary. Because I've yet to find a calendar with a date marked for eternity.
I need your grace.
Grace and mercy is what I lavish upon. There's a recession of my presence. I supply the missing piece your heart demands. And then
some cry over spilled milk. I weep over spilled blood.
Blood that cannot be measured in pints to count my love.
My love was contingent on what was instant. I know I had to come to repentance.
Father, forgive them. They know not what they do.
Oh, I'll get myself together. I'll clean myself up.
No, please, please. Please. Allow me. I'm the only one who can make you clean.
Without spot.
Without wrinkle. Without blemish. Your bridesmaid's goodness
and mercy will follow you. It's already finished. Soon, and very soon, I'm coming back for you. Though I called many, I'm coming back for you.
Will you be ready or not?
We see the story of Jesus going to the cross, and everything seems to kind of be hand in hand. And then there's this one character that seems to interrupt the narrative. His name's Barabbas. We don't even know much about him except that he's a murderer, a leader of an insurrection, a rebel. And why he's even mentioned, sometimes I'm not so sure. It's like, what? This is about Jesus going to the cross. So in this moment, Pilate thinks, I hold the destinies of these two men in my hand. I know the Jews have a tradition that on a holy day, I will release one of the prisoners on death row. Pilate stands on this audacious stage, who now presents Jesus, Son of the Living God, versus Barabbas, the thug and rebel. He says, all right, who do you want? This is blasphemy. This has gone too far. There's no comparison. This is a rightful prisoner, a man who should be on death row. He's a rebel against Rome. He leads a rebellion. He murders people. He's a bad man. He's a thug and he's a crook. He deserves the chains and he deserves the crucifixion. Jesus, what has he done but heal, restore, deliver, set free, open blind eyes, open deaf ears, heal the lame and the leper? What has Jesus done? Who do you want? We want Barabbas. Yeah. Give us Barabbas. People say, give us Barabbas. The Roman soldiers come up and they put the key in and they unlock Barabbas from his chains and shackles. And he walks down the platform, welcomed by all of his thug friends. Yeah, the people love me. Yeah, that's right. I don't even know who this Jesus guy is, but all I know is my people love me. There seems to be no conscience in Barabbas. There's no record of him turning to Jesus and saying, I owe you everything now, for you have set me free. No, I don't see any of that in Barabbas. God knew that. Jesus stood there, silent, for he knew the will of the Father. He said, it's fine, Father. Let him have Barabbas. For Jesus knew that the Father would have to treat Jesus like Barabbas so he could treat Barabbas like Jesus. Barabbas thought it was the people that set him free. No, 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 no. It was the love of the Heavenly Father. I realize who Barabbas really is. That's me. That's you. That's us. And I felt, I was reading this the other day, and I felt God speak to me. I love Barabbas. I love him. But God, he's a bad man. I love him. And I wanted him to go free. But didn't you know that he probably would have never acknowledged the free gift. Yeah, but I love Barabbas. For while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God sent his son for Barabbas, even the one he knew would walk away from Jesus and his free gift and never come back. He loves him. And the nerve, the gall, and the audacity of believers to think, got saved by grace, but now that I'm in this deep, dark place of bondage, I better work hard to get myself out. What? That's the opposite of the gospel. Are you bound? Are you held under the power of this temptation, this sin? Do you feel like it's controlling you? What are you going to do? I'm going to shake myself free. Stop it! No, you won't! You're no match for the powers of hell and the urges of sin. You will not overcome it, and you will never overcome it. You'll just be another statistic. There's no answer within yourself. Your own marriage, your own goodness, your own discipline, your own devotion will not save your marriage and will not save your kids. There's only one. And he's the one that took your place. He's the one that stood silently on the platform with Pilate and said, yes, let him have Barabbas. Take me. How many times have I stood on that platform with Pilate and Jesus, and I'm the Barabbas, and they start to take my chains off, and I say, no, no, I deserve this. I deserve the guilt. I deserve the shame. I deserve the consequence. I deserve it. Jesus seems to look at me, say, no, son, let me have it. Let me have your sin. Let me have your pain. No, God, I did it to myself. I deserve it. My marriage won't make it. This is what I deserve. I deserve divorce. I deserve poverty. I deserve sickness. I deserve it all. No! God, I say, I'm so ashamed. Give me your shame. But God, what if I do it again? I'll still be here. Oh, God, I don't want to hurt you. I love you. I don't want to do this anymore. Give me your sin, son. This is all we got. It's all I got. It's all you got. We can play games. We can play church games. We can pretend like some people are better than others and that's why they're blessed. Or we can all come to the honest conclusion that it's God. And it's God alone. The greatest challenge is not your discipline, your devotion, your focus. Your greatest challenge is believing the gospel. Could it be that there's a God with a love so scandalous, so wide, so deep, so vast, so high, so expansive, so welcoming, so inclusive? Let me have your sin, son. Okay. And I give him my sin. And I stand in this empty space of forgiveness and acceptance while Jesus walks off to the cross that I deserve. I see him walking to the post to be whipped. As I stand a free man, all the attention is turned now. And I feel the love of God saying, go, son, live your life. I'll pay the price. Where did we get off thinking that we were gonna set ourselves free? It's still Jesus. It'll always be Jesus. It'll never stop being the power of Jesus. If his blood is sufficient for your salvation, his blood is sufficient to sustain you through every challenge and every sin and every temptation. Jesus is enough.
Perfect love, and yet still my heart is filled by your mercy. I am healed, and what a love that knows no bounds covers all my ups and downs. I'm made whole, yes, I am free by your blood poured out for me. And what all my ups and downs. I made whole.
awesome to know how much Jesus loves you? You know, we live in a world that is not filled with much love at all. Catastrophes are happening everywhere, and we have people that simply that things are happening, school shootings, activities in the schools, moms and dads, divorce rates. We're seeing things happen that we've never even thought. You know, I look at the teenagers these days, and I look at them and marvel, those that continue to follow Christ, because they're going through things we never even thought possible. And I thank the Lord for them. Today, I just want to talk to you real quickly about John chapter 19, verse 30. Jesus made a powerful statement, and he said this. When Jesus had tasted it, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and released his spirit. What's amazing about this verse is there's three viewpoints that are watching this event unfold. You have one viewpoint that was from just normal flesh. You have the Roman soldiers gathered around. They had beaten him. They had put him on the cross and they had mocked him. You had the religious leaders of that day sitting there and really trying everything to make sure that he would never come off that cross. And when Christ declared, "It is finished," in the normal flesh, it was simple. Well, I guess it's over. I guess it's done. Religion has died on a cross. He said he was something, but he could not have been. Jesus, if you're truly the Son of God, if you're truly God's Son, get yourself off of there. There he remained. When he declared it is finished in the flesh, it looked like everything was completed. That this religious leader of that day had finally taken his last breath. And what he said he was, truly was not. You see, when Christ died on that cross to the fleshly man, just like in our day, how many people have heard that Jesus Christ died on a cross? How many people have heard that Christ paid for our price and we don't have to die because he died for us? But to them, it seems like just another little foolish religious little statement that's made. You see, there are folks that are looking through the viewpoint of flesh, where it means nothing to them that Christ the Messiah had been crucified on the cross. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing." In the flesh, it just looks like a man died. But then there was another viewpoint that came at the exact same time. You see, what you don't see is more real than what you do see. The chair you're sitting on is temporal. But the eternal realms of God, the Bible says, don't look at the things which can be seen, for they are temporary. But look at the things which cannot be seen, for they are eternal. There's an eternal God and there's an eternal devil. And the enemy of our soul was watching too. You gotta remember, from the very beginning of time, his passion was that he would raise himself up against God, that he would raise us up higher. Isaiah chapter 14, "I will bring my throne above the Creator." He was cast down. And then God created Adam and Eve, and he gave them dominion, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And he said, "I'm letting you rule over this whole planet. I'm going to walk with you and spend time with you." But Lucifer, his passion was still the same. "I want to be God. I want to be in control. I want to dominate. I want to dictate." In Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve made a choice. And they gave dominion back over to Lucifer. When Christ died on that tree, if we could have heard the cackles and the bellows from the very bottomless pit to where they knew they had won, the Messiah was dead. "Look at, I won," the devil is declaring. His viewpoint was so very clear. "I worked so hard to get the religious to destroy him. I worked so hard to get people to turn against him. And now here he lies on a cross and he's taken his last breath. It is finished." Oh, the party. You can imagine the party. You can imagine the shouts. You can imagine the hisses. as Satan said, I have finally beaten the one. Now you see, to him it wasn't just killing the Messiah. It was killing you and I. For without the Messiah dying on that cross, without the Messiah raising from the dead, without the Messiah and the life that he came to give, for he came to give life and life more ever abundant. Without Christ, you and I wouldn't have hope. See, his victory to his mind was far more than just killing the Messiah. It was killing you. The third viewpoint was from heaven. You got to remember about heaven. God has a plan. He said, before you were ever born, I knew you. He said, you were fearfully and wonderfully made. When Jesus declared, it is finished, the Father said, it's only just begun. You see, today, that last breath of the Messiah, that blood that rolled down that old rugged tree and mixed and mingled with the dirt down below, to those who were looking in the flesh meant nothing. To those from the demonic world, it meant victory. But in heaven, heaven started to roar because the blood of animals that only covered the sins of man was now overridden by the blood of the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth. The Messiah has died and the blood could be applied. And now those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. You see, things changed. Heaven started to shout, man, and I want you to know, heaven can shout louder than the devil, amen? Salvation was lost at the finished work of the cross. And today, you and I, our Messiah just didn't take his last breath when he declared it is finished. The Bible says that's when he started to work. The Bible declares that he went and preached captivity to the captives. He went down to Abraham's bosom and declared, listen, you were once covered with the blood of animals and that couldn't get you into the presence of God. But I died. The Son of Man died. He gave his all. The one who came was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life. He gave his life. Jesus declared, no man took my life. I gave my life. And when he gave his life, he could now cover them with the blood of perfection. And now to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He then went to hell. Revelation chapter 1 says that he went to hell. And the devil that was jeering because he won and that Jesus died on the cross. Now, as he went down to hell, he took his foot. The very first prophetic word found in the Bible is Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. And it says, he will bruise the head of the serpent. Jesus went down to hell and put his head on the devil's head and said, now listen now, give me those keys. Keys of death and hell. You are no longer in control. You no longer have power over those who are called my sons and my daughters. Death, where is your sting? Death, where is your victory? Jesus declared, I am the resurrection and the life. You see, we aren't dead. We're alive. And just like Christ, if we take our last breath and we know him as our Savior, we're not dead, we're alive. Because we're alive in Christ and our walk with God will bring us to eternity with him. I don't know how you're seeing. Some of you in this room have heard the gospel hundreds of times. You've heard it and walked away. Well, that's a nice story. Well, I'm not into religion. Well, I'm not into that kind of stuff. Well, I do it my way. Well, you know, the sad part about that is many of those people walked away. They never had the blood applied. They might have got splattered when they were bruising him. They might have got dripped upon when they walked underneath it. But it was never applied to their sin. See, today, if you're just looking through the eyes of flesh, I want you to see something. It is foolishness. It doesn't make sense how the blood of a man, the blood of a sinless man, can wash away our sins. But I want you to know that God said to the foolishness of man, it means nothing. But to those who understand, it will wash their sins away and give them purpose and destiny and design. See, today, if you're looking at religion, I don't know, man. You need to change your spectacles. The devil's already lost. He's not even a bother. But heaven is waiting for you. I said, heaven is waiting for you. I'm not asking anybody about religion, because God's not into religion. Everybody in this room is religious. Well, I'm not religious. Yes, you are. Hopefully you are. You religiously brush your teeth. Amen. You religiously shower. You religiously go to work. I was hoping for more amens than that one. You religiously go to work. You religiously love your spouse. Religion just simply means you are consistent in doing things on a consistent basis. That's a fabric of your beliefs. Today, God doesn't want your religion. He wants you. Jesus did not come to build a religion. He came to build a family. And today, you're his family. This is what he desires from you. How do you see him? Are you maybe that ratted, tattered woman, the church, that has traded off your walk with God for foolish things of this planet that make no sense? Maybe you keep going back to the pigsty and slurping from what the pigs are eating and saying, well, you know, I know God is better, but boy, this tastes really good right now. Maybe you think you've gone too far and the devil has won you. I want you to know the devil can never win you. You can only be given to him by yourself. I challenge you today, on this resurrection day, to allow the resurrection of love to happen in your heart. Greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friend. And Jesus loves you with an everlasting love. He loves you with a love that you cannot fathom and cannot obtain here on this planet. No man and no woman, no mama, no daddy. Nobody can love you like Jesus can. Nobody will be with you like Jesus can. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So religion, it always will leave you unhappy. But Jesus will give you a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. I believe you all have communion cups. If you don't have one, if you'll just raise your hand, the ushers are ready to move quickly and to make sure you have some. There's some folks back there without communion cups. Please move quickly. Ushers, move quickly. Ushers, move quickly. Ushers, move quickly, please. We have folks here in the middle. Folks in the middle. You see, before Jesus went to the cross, he reiterated family, and he had communion. We are so religious people. You know, it's amazing to me how religious we are. We see the communion, the Last Supper, everybody around a table, and that's just not how it was at all. They were actually laying on the floor, head to chest. The food was in the middle, and they double dipped. That's true love. Jesus started making a statement because he knew. He knew that his moment was about to happen. He knew that hell was about to unfold upon him. But yet God would give him strength because he saw you. Turn to someone and say, he saw you. That's right. He saw you. Come, tell somebody else. He saw you. Sometimes we forget he saw us. Can you tell yourself, he saw me? Come on, you know you better than anybody else. You know how messed up you are. Can I hear an amen? You know those things that maybe nobody else knows, man. You messed up. Jesus did it for you. because he loves you. You don't have to clean yourself up. He'll clean you up. And this is what we're going to celebrate right now. It's called communion. On this Resurrection Sunday, he had his friends all in a circle, and he said, "This is my body, which is bruised for you." You see, today, Jesus not only paid for your forgiveness, he paid for your healing. Church doesn't preach it anymore, but we do. We preach it's always God's will to heal. The power of God is able to set free. Can I hear an amen? Cancer is not too big for God. Amen? Multiple people in this house have been healed of cancer. So he took that bread and he broke it. It was representing what was going to happen to him. If I had a loaf of bread right now, I'd just rip it and tear it into pieces. Because that's what happened to him. They punched him until his face was so swollen he couldn't even recognize it. They grabbed his beard and they tore it out. Come on, you know what happens, guys, when you start tearing out your beard. You know your razor's a little dull. Oh. Or your grandkid grabs a hold of your goatee. They spat at him. You ever had someone spit in your face before? They laughed at him. They took like a cat of nine tails that had balls of lead on it and pieces of glass on it. And they started beating his back. Scientifically, they say you could literally see his bowels from the exterior. He was just shredded. They put a robe on his body after they beat him to a pulp, and they put a crown of thorns on his head and put a reed in his hand and started mocking him. King of kings, you are the king. Come on, we're going to bow before you. They mocked him. Now watch now. He was able at that very moment to call 10 legions of angels. He was able to be delivered from that very moment. But because he saw you, because he saw me, because his viewpoint was heaven's viewpoint, yes, there is pain to be had, but I will resurrect in 3 days, and I will bring life to all those who will call upon my name. Not religion. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Today, if you're sick in your body, Jesus wants to heal you. He loves healing. But he does. Father, we thank you for healing this morning. We take it, God, as your body. We love you. Let's receive together. Then he took his cup, said, "This is my blood. This is not the actual blood of Jesus. It's grape juice. And it's really nasty grape juice. But what it represents is your sins being forgiven." How many of you have sinned at least once? Twice? How many of you sinned twice this morning? Don't raise your hand. You're on the church parking lot, you were cussing already. But Jesus wants to forgive you. "Well, I'm going to make myself better, and then I'll ask God." No, listen now. You can't fix yourself. You're not good enough. Can I say this to you? You'll never be good enough for God. Phew. What a relief. You will never, ever, ever be good enough for Jesus. Your righteousness and my righteousness are as filthy rags. He accepts us exactly the way we are and said, "If you'll let me live through you, I'll change you from the inside out." Amen. See, today, maybe you don't know Jesus as your Savior. In your bulletins, there's a salvation card. Before we take the blood, I want to pray with you. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, but you'd like to this morning, I want to lead you in a prayer. And I want to tell you what's going to happen. God's going to come in and change you from the inside. It's supernatural, by the way. It's not joining a church. It's not joining a religion. The moment you confess Christ as your Savior, there's a supernatural thing that happens inside of you, because this is the viewpoint of heaven. I've not come to build a religion. I've come to build a family, and I'm going to come and dwell inside of you. If you bow your head to me this morning, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I want you to pray this prayer with me. In fact, I'm going to ask everyone to pray. Pray right out loud. But if you've never received Jesus, this is your moment right now. Can you pray with me? Say this right out loud. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you accept me with the mess that I am. I know that I'm a sinner and that I need the Savior. I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me of my sins. Change me from the inside out. Make me a new person today. This Resurrection Sunday is the beginning of life. It has just begun. I choose Jesus, and I'm never going back to the world. In Jesus' name, amen. You'll take that cup with me, and let's partake together. Jesus, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for saving us. We thank you for changing us. We thank you, Jesus, that you don't love one of us more than anybody else in this room. Thank you for paying the price and sealing it with the resurrection. Lord, today we make a choice and a decision, and then we will not be moved from it in Jesus' name. We'll serve you all the days of our life. Mindy, I'm going to have you come on up here. This is Mindy. And if you made a choice to receive Jesus as your Savior, come up two steps. If you made a choice to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, in your bulletin, you'll find there's a salvation card. I'd like you to grab that card, maybe fill it out and bring it up front. We want to give you a Bible. We want to pray with you. We want you to know that this is not about you just joining anything. Listen, you can't join this church even if you wanted to. We don't have membership. But we got friendship, and we got fellowship, and we got the greatest Jesus. Amen? Let's all stand to our feet. Thank you so much for coming. Can you turn to someone and say, thank you for coming to Resurrection Service? Wasn't it great? Can you give a hand clap to the worship and arts team?
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Now listen, if you raise your hand for salvation or you accepted Christ as your Savior, please don't just leave. Come right down front. We want you to meet Mindy. It's only going to take a few minutes. We want to get you the tools you need to succeed. What's that, dear? Ask the person next to you if you wanted to receive Christ. Come up to the front with me and bring them right up to Mindy. We love you. Enjoy the petting zoo. Enjoy your family. See you next Sunday morning, 9 or 11, His Tabernacle Family Church.